taken place on this day in history. And now the weather for today, in addition to that hazardous weather outlook, also today, periods of snow, mainly before noon, high near 24, north-northwest wind between 8 and 10 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 18 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered snow, mainly before midnight, then a chance for flurries, mostly cloudy with a low around minus 1. Tuesday, mostly sunny and cold, with a steady temperature around 2 degrees. Wind chills will be between minus 10 and minus 20 tomorrow. Currently in Wausau, there's some light snow mixed a little bit of mist, and it's 21 degrees in Wausau at 8:59. Monday morning to everyone, and thank you for joining me for Scripture Verse by Verse. Welcome to another week of studying the Bible verse by verse. We're going to study, the book of Philippians today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 is where we pick up our study from last week. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself. It may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And before we begin our study, let's begin with prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, open it up to the book of Philippians, the New Testament book of Philippians, and we begin in chapter 2, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to Christians, says this: "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion." Let's just stop there for a second. He says, if you have any of these, and he's assuming that if you're a Christian, you do. Because if one doesn't experience these things, then they are either a Christian in name only, or they have allowed the world to influence their thoughts and attitudes and priorities to the point where the ministry of the Holy Spirit in them has been suffocated. Verse 2. He says, but if you have these things, and I'm assuming that you do, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. He says, be like-minded. Now, of course, Christians, even well-meaning Christians, will never agree on everything. And I don't think that God even wants us to. There has to be disagreements so that things can be worked out, talking about doctrinal issues, so that we can know what is right, because iron sharpens iron. So Christians will never disagree on everything. But we can, and we should agree, that Jesus is more important than we are. And we can, and we should agree, that telling the world that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins and living a holy life, we can agree that those things are much more important than any secondary issues we disagree on. Verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. In other words, don't try to be a big shot. If a Christian's goal is to be someone important, then their goal is wrong. If a Christian desires to be put on a pedestal, then they are wrong. If a Christian desires to be noticed, they are wrong. God wants us to put others on a pedestal, especially Jesus Christ. He wants Christians to put Jesus on a pedestal and then others on a pedestal. God wants us to try to make others feel important. You know, if everyone tried to make others feel like they were something special, there wouldn't be a whole lot of strife. Verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's important for us to take care of ourselves. Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We better take care of ourselves. But it is just as important for a Christian to do what is in the best interest of others. Christians should not be self-focused to the point where what they do for themselves hurts someone else. That certainly isn't God's will. 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That should be the same. That should be the case, I should say, with every Christian in every situation. Our attitude should be like Christ Jesus. Whether we're acting or reacting, our motives, our words, our deeds should be in line with what Jesus Christ wants. Verse 6, who, speaking of Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. The Son of God has been the Son of God since forever in the past. Jesus has been God since forever. But he did not hang on to the rights and privileges of deity. Notice verse 7. It says he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus did not empty himself of deity when he was born a little baby in Bethlehem. But what he did do was set aside the rights of deity, the privileges of deity, in order to become a man. And not just any man, but as verse 7 says, a servant of men, the lowest of the low, as a matter of fact. And like the Bible says here, let that mind be in Christ, or let that mind that was in Christ be in you also. So God would like that attitude to be in us. God would like us to consider ourselves nothing. Nothing but a servant to others. That would make God very happy. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus served until it killed him. He obeyed the Father until it literally killed him. He served us, and he died for us, so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And now God wants those of us who have benefited from Christ to be like Christ and serve others for their good. Jesus did it for us. Now we're supposed to have the same mind that Christ had, same attitude, and do the same for others. Verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus is number one on the list of important people. He is the name above every name. And that's because he's the God-man. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All who reject Christ will one day acknowledge that they were wrong, and they will honor him as the Lord God. Everyone will do that. See, it's not a question of will we bow before Christ or not? It's just a question of when and under what circumstances. If we bow before Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is the Lord and the Savior, if we do that in this life, then we will also do it in eternity in heaven. And it will be great. But if we do not do it in this life, then we're still going to do it in eternity, on Judgment Day, right before we're thrown into hell for rejecting God's mercy and His forgiveness, which can only come through the one Savior, Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Bible says. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everyone will admit that. If they admit it in this life and receive Christ, they will go to heaven. If they don't admit it in this life, if they reject that message, they still will admit it before Jesus. They will bow before Him before they're sent to hell. That's what Scripture says. Because God is the Creator, Jesus is the Creator, He will receive the honor that is due Him from His creatures. Every last one of us. And somebody can get angry at me for saying that and get upset and say that's narrow-minded. But it's true. It's just true. And you're going to remember it on that day when you do it. Verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We can't work for our salvation, but works must be a part of our salvation. You know, God means business when it comes to teaching His children how to become mature spiritual adults. So He will discipline when He needs to discipline. And He needs to discipline when we're not being good. 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. God deserves all the credit for anything we do, anything good we do. He deserves all the credit. We supply a willing heart, but He is the one who does the good things in us. And He is also the reason we have even the desire to do the good things in the first place. 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. You know that complaining is a sin? You complain about the weather today? I don't know if I got into complaining, but I just spent 10 minutes scraping the thick ice off of my windshield before I came in here today. And I can tell you, it wasn't much fun. I'm glad there was nobody there with me, otherwise I might have complained. I don't know. But complaining is a sin. Even complaining about the weather. Even complaining about the Packers. Complaining is a sin. You know why? It's because complaining is the opposite of trusting God. Complaining is bad. And complaining sounds bad. And it dishonors the God who is in charge of all things and will work all things out for the good in the end. Complaining shows a lack of faith. Look at 14 again. Do everything without complaining or arguing. God says, don't argue. Do what is right and don't argue about it. If someone comes against you for doing right, don't argue with them. There's nothing to argue about. Just continue to do what is right and leave it at that. If we as Christians focus on being holy and someone has an argument against that, well, leave them be. Because they're the ones with the problem. But don't you get into arguments. That's what God is saying. 15. Let's read 14 along with it. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Most people complain. At one time or another, most people complain. Most people are complainers. So if we Christians trust God no matter what, and as a result do not complain, we're going to stand out from the crowd. And that's the way it should be. God is either real and in control of everything like he says he is, or he is not. It's black and white. It's true or it's false. There's no middle ground here. God is either real and in control of everything, or he is not, and he is. And if we believe that, if we truly have faith as Christians that that is true, then we're not going to complain. And that's going to help others who are sincerely looking for truth and looking for hope. That's going to help them find it through Christ. Time for our break. It is 9:14, actually 9:15. We'll take a one-minute break here, and so I'll be back in 1 minute. Please listen to this. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. I can't wait for Christmas. If you spend any time around children, that's a phrase you have probably heard. Well, we're just 2 weeks away. We're getting closer to the end of the wait. Perhaps you've thought about those people in the Old Testament who knew about the promise of a Messiah. They too may have said, I can't wait. When the Messiah finally came in the person of Jesus Christ, there were many who refused to believe in him, and their waiting continued. But for those who recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, the waiting was over. I pray your Christmas this year is filled with the joy of knowing that the greatest gift of all time has been received, and that because of him, the gift of eternal life is guaranteed. This is By the Way.
And with light mist and snow, it's 21 degrees in Wausau at 9:16. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are currently in the book of Philippians, going verse by verse through chapter 2 today, and we resume our study in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's actually begin reading in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. He's talking to Christians. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. At least Christians should shine like stars. Spiritually speaking, they should shine. God says this world is crooked and perverse. That is what sin has done to his creation. And he wants Christians to be different. He wants Christians to be right, to live the right way. And then he says in verse 16, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. Hold out the word of life. He's saying, hang on to the word of life. Hang on to it, and while you're at it, hold it out. That means don't be ashamed of the word of God. Live the word of God and share the word of God with those who need to hear it. The Bible is the word of life. That's what it is called here. He's referring to the Bible when he calls it the word of life. If people do not hear the word of God from Christians, if people do not receive that word and accept that word, well, they're not going to have life. They will suffer eternal death. And that would be torment in the lake of fire. So that's why it is called the word of life, because it shows the way to eternal life. It contains the words of eternal life, if they are received by faith. 17. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So the apostle, he was glad to give his all for Jesus and for the good of other Christians. That's the servant's heart that God is looking for in people, that same attitude. He goes on in verse 18, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And Paul's not looking for pity. He's in jail for preaching Jesus Christ. But he's not looking for pity. Don't feel sorry for Paul or anybody else who suffers for going all out for Jesus Christ. I'm not saying don't pray for them. I'm not saying don't help them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying look at the big picture. Look at suffering for Christ with forever in mind. Serving Jesus and sacrificing for Jesus is a reason to rejoice, not to be sad. I'm not saying going out and look for trouble. Not at all. Just live holy and accept whatever comes your way. 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. He says that he hoped that Jesus would let him send his partner Timothy to the Philippian church, which would have been a good thing. But Paul said, I hope that I can do that. You know, that's because sometimes God lets us do the good that we want to do, and sometimes he doesn't. And when he doesn't, we have to trust that he has a good reason, even though he might not let us in on what that reason is. Verse 20, I have no one else like him, like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. And that's why he could be trusted. If we have a genuine interest in the welfare of others, then proper actions and words are going to follow. If our attitude is holy, then holiness will follow. Verse 21. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Sad but true. He's talking about Christians. Sad but true. It has always been this way. Most professing Christians are at best divided in their devotion. You know, they kind of want what Christ wants, but they want what they want also. Oh, and sure, a lot of times they'll go to church, maybe even to a Bible study, pray a little bit. But a good part of the time, they say what they want to say. They have the attitude that they want to have. They do what they want to do. And they spend their money the way they want to spend it, with no thought of what God wants. It should not be that way. Not for professing Christians, it should not be that way. 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Oh, Timothy, just a young man, a young preacher. He was just like Paul. He proved his faithfulness. Being a servant is not talking a good talk. It is doing as a servant would do. And one, like Timothy, must prove that they are a servant by deeds of unselfishness and service without expecting anything in return. And if a Christian isn't doing that, then they're not living the way Jesus wants them to live. 23. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. He was confident that he would come soon because it seemed like the right thing to do. But since he didn't have a word from God on the matter, he could not say that his confidence was a matter of faith. It seemed right that he would do it, but God didn't tell him that he would do it, so he couldn't say, well, I believe by faith that I'm going to. No. You need a word from God to live by faith, because faith is believing God and acting according to what God has said. The only way you can live by faith in something is if God has said something about that particular subject. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, the Bible says. Verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Paul's going to send him back. Why? 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. The apostle, in other words, would sacrifice the benefits and the encouragement from Epaphroditus and send him back because that's what Epaphroditus really wanted in his heart. You know, the reason that the apostle Paul, and I'm not putting him on a pedestal, no man should be on a pedestal, but he was a leader, a spiritual leader, because he took the lead in self-sacrifice. And that has to be acknowledged. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. 27. Indeed, talking about Epaphroditus, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. It is a mercy from God when he prolongs a Christian's life, even though to go to be with Jesus is much better. Life is a gift, and it is good when we can extend that gift to live unselfishly and serve the Lord in some way. 28. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. He says, honor people like him. It's good to honor godly people who are committed to doing the will of God, even to the point of self-sacrifice. It is not idolatry to honor the godly, if one remembers that it is God who works in them to want to do his will and to do his will. And yet godly people who are sold out to Jesus Christ, they need encouragement. Because you can bet they're suffering in some way. So it's not wrong to honor people like that, to treat them well. If you have any questions for me or comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. With your questions and your comments, which are always welcome. If you want more of the Word of God, check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website, where you can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. And since it's Christmas, it would be nice, I think, if you would go to the website and check out the Christian videos, the music videos. They're very beautiful, and I think they will be a blessing to you if you check them out. That web address, the Scripture Verse by Verse website, can be found at meret.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett. And if you are looking for a place to worship this Sunday morning, you're welcome to come and join us. We meet at Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Our service begins at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. That's at Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Service lasts about 50 minutes. And it's you get music and Holy Communion, and the Word of God, verse by verse. Come out and join us for a time of fellowship in the Word. You will not be disappointed. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. The name of this program is Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Have a great Monday, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Until then, so long, everyone.